What is this world coming to? Have you asked that question lately? What is this world coming to? If you've asked that question, you're not alone, because there seems to be so much pain in our world today. And there's some really big questions out there. What do we do? And how do we respond to the violence, bigotry, and hate? How do we ensure our children's safety? How do we achieve civil society? And what does that even mean? And the seemingly unanswerable questions like, why do some people suffer and live in war-torn countries? And then there's the hidden questions like, will I ever reconcile with my sibling or my coworker after all these years? Does God even understand the pain that I am suffering? And as people of faith, we even ask, could God have foreseen any of this at all? Most days I do not have a quick answer for any of those questions. But I do know, in fact, that people have been asking that question, what has the world been coming to, for a millennia? I sometimes try to understand suffering like I understand parenting. Before John and I had children, we couldn't foresee that there was the very real possibility that our children, or we as parents, would suffer disappointment or pain or heartache, or that our children might even hurt us. But still, we had kids. Why? Because we counted on the potential of tremendous joy and deep love and great meaning. Now, I know that analogy is far from perfect, but think about God. God undoubtedly knew we'd rebel. But also, God knew that many people would choose to follow him and have a relationship with him. God knew that those relationships with us would make it all worth it. And even though that would cost him his own son's life, with great pain and suffering on the cross, to establish God's kingdom and restore us to new life was worth it. You see, there's a mystery in suffering. There's so many questions around it, so many definitions. Why? What for? To what end? But I know this to be true. God did not create suffering, but did experience it in the human form of Jesus so that all things could be brought from death to life. And the second point framed in our gospel today is this, that suffering isn't good, but God can use it to accomplish good. Throughout this Lenten season, we have been reading from the Gospel book of John, and we've been using the theme, the way of the cross, learning what does it mean to belong to God and to become the people who follow Jesus, particularly Jesus on the way to the cross. So a quick look throughout this 40-day Lenten journey. We began that first Sunday in Lent with the way of trust. And it was the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, where Jesus identifies himself, reveals himself as the resurrection and the life, the source of everlasting life. And the second Sunday, we spent time with Jesus as he washed the feet of his disciples on the last night of his death and looked at the way of humility. Jesus commanded his followers to love one another in this way. And then we encountered the denial of Peter. The forces of the world come to arrest Jesus in the garden, and Peter, one of his closest disciples, denies knowing him. And our high school jam students showed us how denying Jesus plays out in their life. It was social media. And yet, God's mercy redeems the way of rejection, and God's grace is available to anyone who turns to him. Jesus stood in front of Pilate and made it clear that he uses his power to save others. And we learned that Jesus not only speaks the truth, but is the truth. And then finally last week, Pastor Don gave us a wonderful outline of what we are experiencing today, the forces marching into Jerusalem at that Passover, Pontius Pilate, the Jewish authority, and Jesus, the Savior of the world who shows us the way of surrender. Surrender to love. Today, we processed into the sanctuary, waving our palms, and we heard the acclamations, and we encountered the crowd in the gospel. They recognized that Jesus is King, and yet, they kind of, sort of, almost got it right, but mostly they got it wrong. He wasn't that kind of king. So who is this King Jesus? That is the question throughout the Passion narrative. And I'm reaching back into chapter 18 and 19 of John's Gospel, where he is called a threat to God and society. Jesus is described as an innocent man, and according to Pilate, Jesus' identity is even proclaimed on the sign over the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The sign that Pilate authorizes to be hung over Jesus on the cross, written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, proclaimed to the world that God is doing what God is doing for the world by sending Jesus. The cross is where Jesus reigns because here is where the love of God reigns. In John's Gospel, the power of God is revealed as the love of God that seeks to reclaim the world that has turned away from him. God sends Jesus to be the king who comes from the Jewish people in order to reign for the world. Last week, we heard Pastor Don say that God's kingdom is built through God's self-giving love. In the crucified Jesus, the world comes to know the lengths to which God will go in order to reclaim the world in love. I'll share with you that there's been many times in my life where I've thought, no, God can't even understand the circumstances I am going through. The harm has been too great. The damage here is too extreme. The depth of my suffering has been too much. And I hang on to that as if God doesn't already know. There's no way, I think, that God can take any of that and make it for good. Fortunately, I was wrong. You see, when we bring our very brokenness to the foot of the cross, God takes the very thing in us that needs to die, guilt, shame, sin, whatever you want to call it, and brings it to new life. Because this is God's promise. God took the very worst thing that has ever happened in the history of the universe, the death of God on the cross, and turned it into the very best thing that has ever happened in the history of the universe. Jesus' hour has come, and his teaching can be summed up with the metaphor he uses in the gospel: a single grain of wheat must die in order for new life to rise again. So I wonder, what in your life needs to be brought to new life? What suffering, what pain, what brokenness? The people who have harmed you, or that you have harmed? So if God can take the very worst circumstance imaginable, the death of his son Jesus on the cross, and turn it into the very best situation possible, God can take the broken circumstances of your life and create something good from them. Today, Jesus offers us the two very needed things when we are finding ourselves in a hurting place: peace to deal with what is standing in front of us in our present time, and the courage to deal with our future. How? Because Jesus has conquered the world. And we know this. It is not like we don't know what is happening after today, right? Jesus dies on the cross, and through this next week, we will recall the events in his life so that we may remember the events that took place, so that we will rise to new life in Christ every day, every day. Through Jesus' own suffering and death on the cross, he has conquered the world and its power over you. because suffering doesn't have the last word anymore. Death does not have the last word anymore. God has the last word. And my friends, I pray this day that we fall in love with the one who has already fallen in love with us. Amen.